was nice. My name's Susan Newton, by the way.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Welcome you to St. John's this morning. Oh, where am I? I don't quite know. It's one of those weekends. Annual meeting is following worship this morning. We will look at the reports of all of the committees and organizations of the church. We won't look at, as was indicated to you if you saw the email earlier this week, the financial statements. Those will be coming to a meeting. Stay tuned for a meeting near you in a couple of weeks' time. So, for all the rest of the material that's in the annual report, we will look at that following worship this morning. And to facilitate that transition, the ladies of the church have provided us with a lovely lunch that we can have in between. So, thank you to the ladies for that. This month, our mission focus is on camping ministries of our synod and our two synod camps, Gracefield Retreat and Conference Center in Gracefield, and and one that's not quite so well known to us, but is really well known to, I saw Anita, she disappeared. Oh, there she is. They're well known to Anita, so if you really want information about CAB or Camp Action Biblique in Quebec, which is also part of our synod, you can speak with Anita about that, and there is information throughout the building. If you want to, if you have grandchildren or children that you want to send to camp, the information is all there. I have registration forms for Gracefield in the office, and do we have some CAB registrations as well, Anita? It's online. Perfect. Or you can provide gifts of cash in for campership funds that will send other children to camp. So all kinds of opportunities to be supportive of the camping ministries of our synod. Also, earlier this week, we sent out an email sharing with folks that the Presbytery of Seaway Glengarry, the presbytery that oversees Presbyterian churches in this end of Eastern Ontario, is in the midst of a reevaluation and a revisioning process, and they have sent out a questionnaire that they are seeking as many answers as possible from. It looks like this. It's 6 pages long. There are some, they are on the table just as you are going out to your lunch for the annual meeting. See, I just assumed you're going to stay. So you can pick them up there. We'll also carry them downstairs for anyone who wants them and who didn't print them off themselves. We've already had a couple of responses to the questionnaires. Linda Lee Barlow is the winner. She was the first one to get the questionnaire back. So we say good morning to Linda Lee and to Dorothy Asselstein and several other members of our congregation who join us each week via the live stream. It's an opportunity to remember that the community of the saints goes beyond the four walls these days. I had another announcement. I had two more announcements. Next week, during regular worship, we will be welcoming 3 new elders into service in our congregation. Laura McFadden and Robert Martin by ordination, and Anita Mack by reaffirmation of her ordination. Anita has served as an elder in another congregation, and ordination is a one-time thing. So, but we will welcome all of them into leadership in the church next week. And as this is an important day in the life of our congregation, we encourage all members to be present and attending on that day. And please don't forget, on this very busy day, at the end of a very busy weekend, we're going to pause for another moment of worship later this afternoon. For the Psalm Fest that has been scheduled for a while, a service of word and music focusing on the Psalms of Lament. So something appropriate during the season of Lent. So once the business of the day is done, we will retire to the sanctuary once more for an opportunity for worship. Please do plan to stay for that. We have some special guests joining us this afternoon as well, so it will be a wonderful service to close the weekend with. And I should also say, and a thank you to everyone who worked so hard yesterday to make the service of the funeral services for Phyllis Evans meaningful and hospitable to all those who came into our building. It's an important ministry of hospitality when we have families and those who have known someone join us for a funeral. So thank you to everyone, our greeters and ushers, the folks who worked in the kitchen, set up tables, teared tables back down. All of those things are a necessary part of the work of the church. We light the Christ candle as we enter into worship as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world and that we who are his people seek to walk by the light that comes from him. This morning's call to worship is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. I would invite you to stand as you come into the presence of the Lord this morning. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications.
Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live.
Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful.
The Lord protects the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me.
Let us come before God this morning in prayer. Let us pray. Compassionate God, you protect your people from unseen dangers and catch us lest we stumble and fall. You answer when we call and hear our prayers. Help our worship of you to be sacrificial and our vows to you to be sincere, serving and rejoicing because of you as long as we live. Amen. And this morning's opening hymn is number 78 in the Book of Praise. I love the Lord. Hymn number 78. Oh, sorry. 76 is what it says on the screen. I should follow the screen sometime. Hymn number 76. When we gather as people of God to praise God, we remember that we are people who have preferred our own wills to his. Accepting his power to become new persons in Christ, let us confess our sin before God and one another as we say the prayer of confession. This is a unison prayer and will appear before you on the screens. Almighty God, so many of King David's psalms show a heart out of tune, sighing, crying, and breaking with sorrow, yet still clinging to faith in you. So too, O Lord, are our hearts. In Jesus Christ, you have given us what we need most, His cross makes our forgiveness possible, and his Spirit tunes our hearts again to sing your praises. Humble, we beg your pardon for our sins. Eagerly, we plead your help to enthrone in our hearts David's Son, Christ Jesus, King of the universe, our Savior and Lord. And with King David, we declare our trust in your unfailing love. Amen. The Psalms say that if the Lord should mark our iniquities, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with the Lord, and in God we find hope. Beloved in the Lord, hear the good news and rejoice. In Jesus Christ, we have been forgiven. Thanks be to God. As God has given us peace through Christ, so let us pass the peace of Christ to each other and show each other the mercy of the Lord. Let us share a sign of the peace, and may the peace of Christ be with you all. Our hymn is 198, I Hunger and I Thirst. Good morning. You're already here. That's right. It's good to see you this morning. I don't have anybody else. Oh, yeah. Kian's coming up. Good morning, Kian. Now, we've been working our way through a series of stories that have gone along with our Lenten journey. And if you noticed carefully in that hymn that we were singing this morning, there was lots of language, right, about journey and paths, and if you're going on a hike, well, before I ask the tricky question, we started with, what did we start with, Kian? Boots, a good, solid foundation for our hike of faith, right? And we said that boots and that good, solid foundation is like our reading of Scripture where we learn about God and how God is solid and faithful and true. So we did boots. And then we did... A stick. Or a staff. Something that we can lean on and depend upon. Something that helps us on the rough parts of a path. We said that that might be like prayer. And we pray to God to help us in the times that are difficult. And this morning, because, okay, we got our boots, we got our stick, we're good. You can go out for a short walk, but if we're out for a while, what's going to happen? If you go for a little walk, a long, long walk, what happens? You get thirsty, don't you? Yeah, thank you. And we might get, not lost. We don't get lost because we're following the word of God. You missed the first story. Tired. Maybe what else? Maybe we get
hungry.
I hunger and I thirst, Jesus, my manna be. See why I picked the hymn now? So, along with our boots, along with our stick, I think we need to bring our backpack along, don't we? Right? Because our backpack can carry our water bottle. It can carry a lunchbox where we can have, I don't know, some Gorp, maybe a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, whatever you want to take with you that will see you along the arduous paths of life. And in here I also have a journal, in case you want to sit down and write down things that you think along the way. So what we have in here today is all of those things that will sustain us, that will help us to stay strong in our journey. So it's all of the things that we learn when we come here in church to worship and to study. Right? It's that favorite hymn that lives in your head that you hum as you walk along sometimes. It's the Bible verses that maybe you memorize as part of your classes, right? Who here, look behind you. Who here memorized the 23rd Psalm when they were in Sunday school? And who can still more or less, I'll cut you a little side, more or less can still say it from memory today, right? We learn these things and they are ingrained in us forever. Those are the things that are in our backpack that we carry and that help us along the way. So that's our story for this morning. I wonder what else we're going to need on this journey. I guess you're going to have to come back next week and find out, aren't you? Yeah, next week. But for now, you're going downstairs. We're learning about Samuel anointing David with oil, and I look forward to hearing everything that they learn. Are we doing anointing with oil downstairs? That could be a wonderful, wonderful activity. A very messy one as well. Once more, friends, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Faithful God, how blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Sanctify us by your word and spirit, so that we may glorify you in the company of the faithful. We pray all these things through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Good morning. The first reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 10. It is necessary to boast, nothing to be gained by it, but I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a person in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows. And I know that such a person, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard things that are not to be told, that no normal is permitted to repeat it. On behalf of such a one, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast except of my weakness. But if I wish to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will be speaking the truth, but I refrain from it so that no one may think better of me than what is seen in me or heard from me, even considering the exceptional character of the revelations. Therefore, to keep me from being elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of the witnesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong. The gospel reading is from Mark chapter 10, verses 16 to 52. They came to Jericho as he and the disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho. Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stood still and said, call him here. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up, he is calling you. So throwing off your cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, my teacher, let me see again. Jesus said to him, go, your faith has made you well. Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way.
Once more, let us join in praise as we sing hymn 568, I Sought the Lord and Afterward I Knew, hymn 568, or as it will appear before you on the screens. That was a word with just too many syllables, wasn't it? Lovedest me. And it had to all be done on one note. We don't say that very often. Friends, listen now for the word of God this morning as it is given to us in Psalms 116. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplication, because he inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. And then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, save my life. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord protects the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I kept my faith even when I said, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my consternation, everyone is a liar. What shall I return to the Lord for all of his bounty to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the child of your serving girl. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer you a thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Just by way of reminder, we are working our way through the Hallel Psalms, Psalms 113 to 118 during this season of Lent, and today we have landed at 116. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I think we've all been in that place where we find the psalmist this morning. Weighed down by worry and concern, tossing and turning on our beds at night because the thoughts in our heads just won't shut off. Concerns about health or the health of someone we love, worry about our children, our grandchildren, and if they will find a place in this world. The never-ending list that just keeps getting longer and longer and the end never seems to be in sight. At some point in the swirl of anxiety, you find the wisdom to stop and pray. You find the wisdom to turn over to God all of those worries because they are too big for you to deal with any longer. That is what has come before the psalm that we read this morning. That is the environment in which the psalmist says these words. In the case of the psalmist, it is believed that he was suffering from some sort of illness or physical condition that threatened his very life, but from the psalm, you're not exactly sure what his malady was. And in his desperation, the psalmist, from the midst of all of that, one of those marathon nights when you run a 26-mile race as you're not falling asleep and tossing and turning, the author of this psalm called out to the Lord. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplication. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish, and then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, I pray, save my life. How often have we laid in bed and said a prayer, something like that? It is the one's testimony that God does indeed hear the prayers of those who turn to the Lord for aid. And God does respond. The psalmist is convinced that this is not a one-off thing either. The psalmist makes no claim that God listened to him because he had done anything special, but rather that this experience of God's grace rests entirely on the very nature of God. The psalmist goes on to write, "Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord protects the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you." But because of the psalmist's experience of God's love, the psalmist will live this new life, this life of peace that has been given to him by God's graciousness and God's mercy. And because of this experience of God's mercy, the author commits himself, to testifying to the greatness of God, to worshiping God within the congregation of God's people. He goes on to say, for you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. The idea being that there are no other people who are more fully alive than those who know God's grace and who gather in worship to sing his praises. The author then goes on to speak of the acts of worship that he will make: sacrifices of drink offering, lifting the cup of salvation. But we're going to set those aside for the day, if that's okay. Because those are also the text for Maundy Thursday, and if I tell you it all now, I'll have nothing to say then. But for this morning, I think the first half of this psalm is sufficient. One of the greatest blessings of a lifetime of service through the ministry of word and sacrament is that I have heard people's testimony time and again. Their stories of life-threatening illnesses or other concerns that have weighed heavy upon them, and they did not know what to do. And then they turned them over to God, and suddenly things became clear. It is truly remarkable how many times in a life of ministry you hear those stories. But in all these cases, their stories were predicated on this one reality. They invited God into the crisis. Now, that may sound a little too simplistic, perhaps, or maybe it sounds a little bit like some sort of pious piffle. And yet, in all of those stories that I have heard throughout the years, it was this that was the pivotal moment. It's pivotal, I believe, because it was in each of these cases the admission of the individual that they could not fix whatever the crisis was by themselves. And that's important because we live, of course, in a society that tries to tell us each and every day that we're in control, that we are the masters of our own destiny. If we only look prettier, work harder, everything will work out just fine. And yet, we all know that as hard as we work, as kind as we might be, as pretty as perhaps we are, it doesn't always work out. That misadventure and misfortune falls upon many, and that we're powerless to do anything about it. And it's only in those times then that we have that motivation to reach beyond ourselves to someone else, to seek the assistance of God. It is like our friend, blind Bartimaeus, from the gospel lesson this morning, or like our friend Paul in the letter to the Corinthians. Each had found themselves in a place where they needed the help of God. Now, they got slightly different answers, didn't they? Bartimaeus gets healing and sent off with the affirmation that it is because of his faith, because he would dare to stop and ask God in Christ for his help, that Christ responded and Bartimaeus was healed. Paul, well, we have to comment a little bit on Paul, because Paul had his affliction and he too turned to God in prayer. And God said, well, I'm going to leave that with you for a while. Enjoy that pain in your side. We believe he had bad hips. I don't know if anybody in the room can sympathize with Paul's bad hip. But Paul had a thorn in his side, a worn-out hip, or arthritic hip that bothered him to no end. God left it with him, but God left it with him with this saying, with this piece of wisdom, that it was an instructional reality for Paul, that Paul would learn to be humble in all that he did, and in his weakness he would find strength, that even then, in the midst of pain, God would continue to be the one upon whom he could rely. What we learn today from all of these readings is simply this: that we have a God who is merciful towards us and looks upon us with compassion, and to whom we can turn at any moment. And that in the end, we have the testimony of all three of these individuals, that God hears our prayers and that God responds to them. And therefore, we can trust in God, knowing that whatever we do and wherever we are, God walks alongside of us. Thanks be to God for his word to us today. Our affirmation of faith for this morning is taken from the Heidelberg Catechism, question 1. We, as good Presbyterians, or many of us, memorized the shorter catechism in our Sunday school days, one of those things that we memorize. What is the chief end of man? Thank you very much. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. See, engraved in our hearts from youth. The Heidelberg is a similar a confessional document. It is a catechism, which means it is in the form of a question and then an answer. So I will ask question 1, and you will answer it. Not from memory. It will be on the screen. Friends, what is your only comfort in life and in death? That I am not my own, but belong with body and soul, both in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood, and has set me free from all the power of the devil. He also preserves me in such a way that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Indeed, all things must work together for my salvation. Therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me heartily willing and ready from now on to live for him. Amen. What shall I return to the Lord for all of his blessings to me? I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all God's people. Let us now present our tithes and offerings. Thank you.
welcome God's free bounty glorified.
True believer, true repentance, every grace that brings you love. Arise and come to Jesus, He'll embrace you in His arms, in the arms of our dear Savior, oh, there are 10,000 charms. Come, ye weary, heavy laden, lost, and ruined by the fall. If you tarry till you're better, you will never come at all. Blessed are the eyes that see Him, blessed are ears that hear His voice. Blessed are the souls that trust Him and in Him alone rejoice. Arise and come to Jesus, He'll embrace you in His arms, in the arms of our dear Savior, oh, there are 10,000 charms.
10,000 charms.
Let us pray. Mighty God and Father of us all, you overwhelm us with your great mercy. At the time of our greatest need, you surprise us with your wondrous love. Jesus offered his life for us to remove our dreadful curse. As you draw us into this new relationship of love, may we respond with gratitude. And as we offer the substance of our souls to continue the ministry of Christ, for his name and glory, we pray and present these gifts. Amen. The other problem with the anthem this morning is that I was counting it in two. I wanted to count it in two. Except it's written in three-quarter time, and three does not divide by two. So you see where my problem was. Friends, let us come before God in prayer this morning. Let us pray. And as we turn in prayer, before we do, just a couple of quick notes. A couple of members of our congregation are in hospital this week and asked to be remembered in prayers, so we will do so this morning. One is Valerie Rowe, who probably like me, you might have noted, has been missing for a couple of weekends. So we say hello to Valerie, because Valerie will be watching on her phone this morning. Valerie wanted me to tell you right off the bat, it's not her heart. But she did have a fall actually coming to church a couple of weeks ago, and nothing is broken, but just battered and a little bruised. So Valerie is in hospital, and we pray for Valerie this morning. Also, Joan Bowman is in hospital presently. She too had a fall, and as often is the case at certain times of the year, gravity conspires against us. So as we come in prayer, we will pray for Valerie and Joan and all other things. Let us pray. Lord God of all creation, we give you thanks and praise that you have so wonderfully made us. We thank you for the diversity of nature and the wonder that we see around us each day. We pray for the church in every place, that wherever people gather in your name, you will make us able to listen to each other with open hearts. Give to your people unity, O God, and replace divisiveness with reconciliation, that we may reach out to the world and bring comfort and peace to a troubled world. We pray for all who serve the church, for musicians and ushers, greeters and pastors, council members, teachers, and student leaders, as architects and cooks, as repairers and cleaners, and all other ministries. May they all find purpose in their work, and may we all find our place of service within your church for the sake of the gospel. We pray for our brothers and sisters of other faiths, for Muslims and Jews, Hindus and Buddhists, people of indigenous cultures everywhere, that their paths may lead with ours to greater understanding of the goodness of faith in its many languages and forms. We thank you for this amazing earth, for clean water, rich soils, abundant sunshine, and all the foods that you have made for our health and enjoyment. Give all people the gratitude to share, especially with those who do not have such riches and who today are hungry. We pray for the leaders of our nation, for our Prime Minister and members of Parliament, for the leaders asserting power in other nations, and for nations in trouble at this time. Especially today, we continue to lift up in prayer the countries of the Middle East. And we pray for peacemakers and diplomats. Grant to them a will for peace and the wisdom to seek areas of mutual interest that can turn swords into plowshares. We pray for all who suffer from the horrors of war and famine, for children who do not know the reason for their pain and have no power to change their lot, and for livestock and plants damaged by human conflict. We pray for those who suffer from all forms of injustice, brokenness, and illness, especially all who have asked for prayers of this congregation and for those whose well-being we hold in our hearts. We pray this day for Valerie and Joan, who are in hospital, and all others who are known to us. God of eternity, certain days remind us of tragedy and death, but we know that all days are redeemed and held in your grace. We remember those who have died on this day and those who will die tomorrow, and all those who have lived, who have enriched our lives. Especially this day, we continue to hold up in prayer Phyllis Evans, whose funeral was yesterday. Remember, be gracious to her, O God, and grant her rest, and be with her family, that they may know your peace. Keep alive in us the hope of the resurrection, O God of love, and hear our prayer. Into your hands we commend those for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught his disciples to pray in this manner: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And we close our service in praise as we sing the hymn, Love Lifted Me. The words to this hymn will appear on the screens. As we are moving directly from here to lunch, we will say the grace before the benediction. Let us pray. Great and gracious God, we give you thanks that we have been able to gather here this day to sing your praises and hear your word, to be assured that you bless us each and every day. And we thank you now for the food that we are about to eat and pray that you will bless it to our use and us to your service through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now let us take up the cross and follow Jesus. Do not be afraid of what may come. You lose what you wish to safeguard only by holding onto it with too great a desperation. So set your mind on what Christ has done. And may the teachings of your Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, and the presence of the one God who abides with you always, keep you strong and gentle for the sake of the goodness that is willed for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
The peace of the earth.